the Lord Jesus tells us, it is not so among you. We are not to be like that. However, it is a problem that can continue in the life of a Christian long after he has repented and come to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness. If we have this longing in our heart to be great in this kind of sense before we were Christians, we need to be careful, because this longing and desire can carry on for many years after we have become Christians. If we do not totally reject the spirit of the world and what the world system offers us, then the boastful pride of life can easily become the basis of our seeking for spiritual glory and worth in our lives. We may now be pursuing spiritual worth and glory. We may want to grow in the kingdom of God, but we may still be thinking along the lines of how the world sees greatness. We can, in fact, be following the world in its ideas and understanding of greatness while seeking spiritual worth. Our terms may have changed. Our objectives may have moved, but the spirit may still be rather similar. We may still want to be great in the wrong kind of way. Luke chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. Luke 16, verses 14 and 15. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." When we read about the Pharisees, we have a certain concept of them, that they are very negative people. So it is easy for us to think that we are not like them. We are very different from the Pharisees. We are Christians who have repented, who are born again, who have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We don't think like them. This may be true to a significant degree. However, the underlying principles with regard to how the Pharisees sought for what they wanted in life may very well apply to us as well. The Lord said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men." It is very easy for us to be very concerned about the opinions of men, what people think of us. Even as Christians, it can still be true to a very significant degree. It may be that we are not so concerned whether they think we are rich or not, but we are concerned whether they think we are spiritual or not. We are concerned whether people think we are effective as Christians or not, whether we are faithful to God or not. We may therefore do things with such a motive. Justifying ourselves in the sight of men. But the Lord Jesus says, God knows your hearts. What is more important is to recognize that God knows our hearts. People may or may not perceive, recognize what is truly in our hearts. Even if we can impress other people, it is of no use because God knows our hearts. He knows what we are. And the Lord Jesus says, "For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." If our self-esteem is based on how the people of the world view us, we are in danger of pursuing a path that is detestable to God. The values of this world, do they form the basis of our concerns? Is that what we want in our lives, to be highly regarded in this world? We should be concerned as to how God esteems us. How does God regard us? Does He view us as precious, meaningful to Him? Do we bring joy to His heart? The Lord Jesus wanted to teach the disciples to beware of the manifestation of false worth that is associated with wrong understanding of the meaning of greatness, arising from a wrong spirit of self-seeking in wanting recognition, position, and power. We can have a problem in false worth in the way we assess ourselves, thinking that there is worth when there isn't. We can also be involved in the problem of false worth when we have a wrong understanding of the meaning of true greatness. And this wrong understanding easily arises when there is a wrong spirit of self-seeking. When we long for recognition, position, and power. This is particularly important because such a wrong direction can take place in our hearts even when we desire spiritual meaning and value. Such a problem can be present in serious Christians who pursue God and want to honor Him in their lives. We see this in these disciples of the Lord Jesus. They were serious men who wanted to pursue things of eternity. They left all to follow the Lord Jesus. They wanted that which was of value in eternity. Yet, in their hearts, there was still present this wrong direction, associated with a wrong understanding of the meaning of greatness. James and John thought that to sit on the right and on the left would mean that they were great. The Lord Jesus wants to help us to understand that we must approach the subject of greatness very carefully. True worth is not easily developed, but it is very, very precious. This problem of the wrong direction can be readily present in all who do not deeply deal with the self-seeking spirit in their hearts. As long as the self-seeking spirit is still active within us, this problem can easily arise. It may at times not be very obvious, but at times it can manifest in very ugly forms. Let's consider an example recorded in the scriptures. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Now there was a certain man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." Simon practiced magic because he wanted to be regarded as someone great. He was very happy when people gave attention to him and called him the great power of God. He had this longing for greatness in his heart. Acts chapter 8, verse 13. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. The scriptures tell us that in the midst of the ministry of Philip, even Simon, the magician, believed. And he was baptized. And he continued on with Philip. However, Acts chapter 8, verses 18 to 23, shows to us that the desire for greatness was not removed from his heart. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 to 23. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." When Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he was excited. Here was a means to experience power again. Now that he believed, he did not want to practice magic, but he wanted this power. "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Could it be that Simon wanted to contribute in service? Could it be that he thought that if people received the Holy Spirit, it would be good for them, and he wanted to be part of it? This is possible, but the Spirit was not right. While it is possible that he may have sought to serve and to contribute, there was the underlying desire for greatness, for power, for authority. Peter rebuked him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." This may seem to imply that there was no true repentance in Simon. This is also possible. He seemed to have believed, but deep in his heart, repentance was not deep enough. Whichever way it is, the record is not very clear as to what actually went on within him. What is important is to recognize that Simon had now transferred his desire for greatness from the practice of magic to that of serving the Lord. And this principle can easily be at work in the Christian world. People who have been involved with the occult, with black magic, may sometimes profess faith in the Lord, sometimes genuinely, sometimes not. But the desire for such experiences of power may continue in their hearts. And this is very dangerous. The Apostle Peter said, "Your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." As long as we have this wrong desire for greatness, we are in bondage. We are not truly free to genuinely serve the Lord. So while this may be true of Simon, and it may be that he was not truly converted, yet the principle is true even for those who are genuinely converted. The flesh continues in the midst of our striving to walk by the Spirit. The Apostle Paul warned the Galatians not to pursue the life of the flesh, although they had tasted of the power of the Holy Spirit. So too for many Christians. After having experienced the life and the power of God, it is still possible for us to continue walking in the flesh. Such a wrong spirit can be present even in serious Christians sincerely seeking to help others and serve God, if a desire for greatness of the wrong kind is still active within the heart. Even if we genuinely love others, want to help them, seek to serve God, there can still be present such a wrong spirit if a desire for greatness of the wrong kind is still active within the heart. Greatness in the eyes of the world is very, very different from greatness in the eyes of God in the kingdom of heaven. A truly great person is not one who exalts himself, but one who is truly humble. This is a primary issue when we are converted. If we want to be truly great, we must genuinely want to serve, to give, to help in whatever position and status that is meaningful before God. Willing to be a slave or a servant because of love. True moral greatness is not attained by seeking for recognition, positions, and abilities, but in developing moral goodness of the heart. When true worth is developed in the Spirit. Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Lord Jesus responded to the question of the disciples, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They were preoccupied with this subject of who is the greatest. The Lord Jesus told them, you must be converted and become like children if you want to be truly great. We may say we are converted, but how deeply converted are we? In what way have we turned away from the wrong path? In what way are we truly following the Lord? The Lord Jesus says, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Does this mean that all children who show humility are truly great? We all know that many humble children grow up to be very proud adults. What is the problem? The issue is that it is easy to be humble as a child, but not so easy to be humble as an adult. When we are young and we recognize that we know little, we can do little, we have hardly any position or status, it is easy to be humble. When we grow, we become more able, we are recognized, we contribute, and we begin to think that we are great. We lose that sense of humility as we grow in our knowledge and ability.